Well, listen, I wanted to begin to go into this teaching now, and I want to thank many of you for hanging around and being on this call. And I just feel that before I finish teaching, that one of those people that God has touched to do the 1,033.33, you're right here. You're right here. Okay. Montisha Walker, I don't know if y'all prophesied to her, but we see you there, woman of God. We see you there. And we're going to get your information. But tonight, I want to move a little bit further in our teaching as we are teaching on prevailing prayer. We've been dealing with part 7 for a while because it is the greatest and the heaviness and the weightiness. I need to make sure that the lines are muted out because I've got background noise. Let's take care of the lines. So we want to move further in that teaching as we have been stuck on this highest and most powerful and potent aspect. As we've been teaching on prevailing prayer, triumphant, an availing prayer. And yet, this is the final because we have been discussing with you prayer warfare that defeats Satan. Prayer warfare that defeats Satan. And this is not for amateurs and babes. This is for those that is grounded and know how to reach and touch the heart of God. And so within that, we are teaching you on the 10 Christian spiritual weapons. We began to speak to you in regards to part 1 as we dealt with truth. We told you to think the truth, speak the truth, and act truthfully. Then we began to discuss and go into righteousness. Stand there for what having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And the importance of this part of the armor of God. Why? Because it offers us spiritual covering when we're battling the enemy the way a bulletproof vest protects the heart. We began to let you know that we must guard our spiritual heart by putting on the spiritual breastplate of righteousness. We told you to put on this breastplate of righteousness simply means to ensure that you do the right thing in the sight of God at all times. We told you that King David realized the importance and the important role that righteousness played in winning his battles because he declared on the day when the Lord delivered him from all of his enemies that the Lord rewardeth me according to my righteousness. So God will always reward you according to your righteousness. Then David says, according to the cleanliness of my hands, he has recompensed me. Because I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wicked. David also told us where he stated, all his judgments were before me. And as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. He said, I was also blameless before him and I kept myself from my iniquity. Then he said in 2 Samuel 22, chapter 22, verses 21 through 25, he says, therefore the Lord has compensated me. When you live a life of righteousness, the Lord will compensate you. He says, therefore the Lord has compensated me what? According to my righteousness and according to my cleanliness in his eyes. Then we began to discuss with you weapon number 3, which was salvation. Take on the helmet of salvation. And we told you that the importance of the helmet of salvation is the part of armor that God offers us spiritual covering when we are battling the enemy, the way a helmet protects the brain. So we must guard our thinking. We must put on the helmet of salvation. We must say with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so now we want to move into weapon number 4. Which is the gospel. Which is the gospel. And so weapon number 4 is really what we also want to call the army boots. You see, in Paul's days, soldiers wore strong leather boots with the soles thickly subdued with nails, says Josephus. Such boots what gave the feet firm grip in fighting and what durable protection on long marches. The warrior could spring instantly into action. Wars have been won or lost because of footwear. The gospel of peace, peace with God and peace with all men, what gives a firm foundation that will not slip or slide. Again, this piece of the armor emphasizes that successful fighting depends on the character. So the Bible lets us know in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 15, stand therefore what? Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So the gospel of peace is a part of the armor that offers us spiritual covering when we are battling the enemy the way military boots protect a soldier's feet. These boots went all the way up to the knee area. So if any snakes, as they were walking, would bite the leather and they would be protected. It went up to the knees. And so military boots were very important in physical warfare, but because they enabled a soldier to walk on thorns, wade in marshes, march over rocks, climb slippery slopes, triumph serpents and scorpions, and fight in many other tough terrains. So therefore, what? Put on the spiritual military boots by reading your Bible so that you can fight while spiritually standing on the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Come on now. Yes, so put on your spiritual boots by reading the Word as you're standing in the Word of God. So read the Word. Why? Because there is a word for every type of terrain that you may find yourself fighting in. For example, if your combat is in a rocky terrain, there is a scripture to stabilize you. If you're struggling up a steep incline, there is scripture for you what? To grip it onto and ease your climb. If you're sliding down a slippery path, hear me, saints, there is a scripture for you to hang on to and stop the slide. If you're staggering between two courses of actions, what? There is a scripture to point you in the right direction. So therefore, what? Put on your military boots by reading the Word of God every day. As we begin to look at weapon number 5, which is simply faith. Why? Because with God, all things are possible. Faith. The shield of faith. The Bible lets us know in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, above all, what? Take the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And many times what they would do with these shields of faith, they would soak them in water. So if the enemy would shoot arrows with fire on it, it wouldn't touch them. Why? Because the shield was soaked in water. Soak your shield of faith in the Word. Why? Because faith without works is dead. So soak your faith, your shield, in the Word of God. This is how you increase your faith. So above all, what? Take the shield of faith with which what? You're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith is a very important part of the army, of the armor of God. Why? Because it protects us by quenching or neutralizing all the darts that the enemy fires in our direction. In other words, whatever the enemy attacks you with, if you have faith, you can overcome it. So therefore, take up the shield of faith by going through your Bible to find the scriptures that negate whatever the enemy is using to attack you. See, I'm talking about saving faith. I'm talking about saving faith, which is absolutely essential, but this element goes beyond salvation of faith used in spiritual conquest and warfare. It is faith for action. for attacking the fortresses of Satan, for taking the prayer offensive to drive Satan back. This faith God desires in us and gladly supplies what? To us. It is faith that seizes the promise and wields it like a weapon. Oh, hallelujah. So take up your shield of faith by going through your Bible to find the scriptures that will negate every attack by the enemy. Well, let's say, for example, you lose your job or your business collapses or you're facing financial demise, and experts declare that you will never make it in life, and so on and so forth. You can choose what to use with God. All things are possible as your shield of faith, according to St. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. So holding the thought that with God all things are possible in your mind and believing it in your heart protects you from having a mental breakdown. Why? Because it gives you hope that can recover financially and in all other ways with God's help. So holding the thought that with God all things are possible in your mind and believing it in your heart, what also renders the stinging verbal arrows fired in your direction by former friends and current enemies harmless. So what does it do? It neutralizes this scathing comments and prevents them from searing your mind and scorching your psyche, since you know what? That with God, all things are possible, including raising you above your circumstances, hear me, what? And succeeding in life. So you're holding the thought. Come on now. You want to hold the thought that with God, all things are possible, according to St. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. So you want to hold this thought in your mind, believing it in your heart also prevents what? Low self-confidence and doubts about your abilities, what? Based on your track record from this, what? From destroying your will to rebuild your life, since you know that with God, you can achieve anything. So the shield of faith allows you to hold the thought that with God all things are possible in your mind, believing it in your heart, prevents you from giving up and giving in to despair. It's faith. It therefore what enables you to make a fresh start. So therefore, dear believers tonight, saints, therefore choose scriptures that negate whatever the enemy is using to attack you, and choose to believe that regardless what of your current situation. See, that's why I'm going to do the 2 Saturday seminar on teaching you how to pray scripture. On how to pray scripture. And every week I'm going to be giving you a scripture. And you have 7 days to memorize that scripture. So within a year, you know how to quote verbatim, word for word, 52 biblical scriptures that will cover you. And the scripture that I'm going to be giving you is going to be designed as spiritual ammunition to speak at whatever situation you may be going through. You'll be like the Master Jesus when tempted in the wilderness, turned these stones into bread. He went back to Deuteronomy and said, man shall not live by bread alone. And so the purpose what is to build you and to strengthen you. So Jesus went back to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. Where it says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and feed thee with manna which thou knowest not. Neither did thy fathers know, what that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. So Jesus was quoting scriptures Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. So you want to begin to put on this shield of faith. That regardless whatever the situation, you can overcome. And this is because what? Holding them as your defense shield of faith helps determine the outcome what of your spiritual battle. So you want to keep your chosen scriptures at the forefront of your mind and in the middle of your heart at all times, what, so that you can immediately extinguish all the fiery darts that the enemy fires in your direction. With God, all things are possible. So the importance of faith is underscored by Hebrews 11, which says, time would not be enough for me to tell you all about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, what, who through faith subdued kingdoms, work righteousness, obtain promises, close the mouth of the lions, put out a fierce fires, escape the edge of the sword. They were strengthened when they were weak. They became vigilant in battle and turned to fight the armies of aliens, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 34. So hear me, saints, this passage shows us that faith enabled these men to win all the different battles that they were engaged in. Faith quenched all the fiery darts the wicked one fired in their direction, regardless of whether these darts were in the form of devouring lions or fierce fires or battle swords. Therefore, hold up your shield of faith and believe that with God all things are possible. What? And you will also be able to put out all the fiery darts that the enemy fires in your direction. You see, if you find your faith wavering, what? In the middle of the battle, cry out to King Jesus like the father of a boy with the deaf and dumb spirit who prayed, Lord, come on now. Lord, I believe. Please help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Please help my unbelief. Please help my child that may not believe. I believe, but help my unbelief. According to St. Mark chapter 9 and verse 24. Believe in God. Above all, take the shield of faith. Weapon number 6. See, you got to learn how to put on this. You got to learn how to work with this shield. I need you to work with this shield. Because it is faith that quenches every flaming arrow of Satan. He is the false accuser of God and of our Christian brethren. And he even tries to accuse us. He wants to disable us by doubt. Satan accuses us of weaknesses. And we agree our strength is in the Lord, not in ourselves. He charges us with ignorance. We agree. What do we mean? We agree that, that the Lord is our wisdom. The Spirit is our guide and counselor. Satan charges us with not knowing how to pray. We agree. That's what it says. Agree with your adversary. We agree. For that reason, So we agree what? For that reason, the Spirit prays within us and is Lord of our praying. So our shield of faith is big. It is adequate. It can quench every flaming arrow Satan shoots at us. Let's go to weapon number 6, the Word of God. What is the Word of God? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This Word is our mighty weapon in both defense and offensive warfare, allowing us to ward off the attacks of Satan and to lead to attack all the powers of hell. What tremendous, what effective and universally applicable power is in the Word. Let me cite a few militant phrases to many of you tonight as the appropriate point what in your prayers. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of Jesus, you will, and your will be done. That's the word of God. Your will be done. Get behind me, Satan. And by the blood of the Lamb. See, each of these can be a piercing, slashing, sword thrust in your prayer warfare. What am I saying? What are you saying, Bishop? Use scripture in your praying. Use scripture militantly as a soldier, because there are ammunitions. Use scripture in the command of faith. So what is it? So scripture is called the sword of the Spirit. Why? Because it is inspired by the Spirit. It is his sword. Why? Because he is the one who hands it to you, and because it is a great weapon, he uses it through you. Do you not know that the literal Greek is receive it? Because the Holy Spirit must place it in your hands. The use of scripture and prayer warfare is a work of the Holy Spirit. He brings it to your memory as you pray. So he uses the scripture in your warfare, is a work of the Holy Spirit, and he brings it to your memory as you pray. He gives it piercing and sharp flashing power as you wield it against Satan. And the enemy cannot stand against the word of God when it is used in the power of the Spirit. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, yours and mine, great Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, silenced the enemy with the word, and so can you when you wield it by the Spirit. So all these are the armor and weapons of your warfare, but prayer is the actual warfare. Therefore, Paul closes this description of the armor and weapons with the exhortation that when you have been fully armed, hear me, saints, when you have been fully armed, you should use it all by prayer and battling the enemy in Christ's name. In Christ's name. And so the word lets us know in Ephesians 6 and 17, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is the offensive weapon that we need to wield when fighting spiritually. To use this weapon, speak scriptures over, as I said, over yourself to fight for what you want, or fight against what you do not want to happen in your life. For example, if you're fighting sickness, come on now, saints, work me tonight. If you're fighting sickness, you can use Isaiah 53 and verse 5 as your sword by declaring that by his stripes I am healed. If you're fighting shortages in your finances or other facets of your life, you can use Philippians 4:19 as your sword by declaring that my God shall supply. Come on now. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you're fighting for your marriage, you can use St. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 6 as your sword by declaring what? That what God has joined together, let no man separate. If you're facing almost certain defeat in your ministry, business, or any other endeavor, you can use Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 as your sword, come on now, by declaring that I am confident that he who has begun a good work in me will complete it. If something is trying to make you feel afraid, you can use 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 as your sword by declaring what? That God has not given me the spirit of fear. He has given me power and love and of a sound mind. If you're fighting for your peace of mind, you can use Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, come on, as your sword by declaring what? That God will keep me in perfect peace. Why? Because my mind is stayed on him and I trust in him. If you're facing humanly impossible challenges, you can use St. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26 as your sword by declaring what? With God, all things are possible. Weapon number 7, prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. With all power and supplication, praying all the time in the Spirit. So Paul tells us that after putting on the whole armor of God, we have to pray all the time. Therefore, pray without ceasing, and let the Spirit pray through you. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, and emulate all those other people in the Bible who won their battles after praying. King Jehoshaphat, when the Israelites were attacked by the armies of the Ammonites and Moabites and people from Mount Seir, King Jehoshaphat then prepared himself to inquire of the Lord. Pray without ceasing. And all the men of Judah, together with their wives and their children, gathered together, and King Jehoshaphat stood in the house of the Lord to present their problem to God in prayer, for he said, and ask the Lord for help. Here are the armies from Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir coming to throw us out of the land that you have given us to inherit. We do not have their power to fight this great multitude. We don't have that kind of power to be victorious and to fight against this great multitude. We do not know what to do, but our eyes, I don't know what to do with my flesh. I don't know what to do in the natural. It looks like I'm defeated. I don't have the strength. I don't have the power. I don't have the authority. Who am I? This army is just too great. But I do know one thing, that my eyes are upon you, O God. I know that you will make everything right. Jehoshaphat, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 10 through 12, they kept their eyes on the Lord. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Why? Because the battle is not yours. It is the Lord. So the Lord answered their prayers and told them what to do. He gave them that their battle strategy was do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Position yourself in the battlefield. See, the battle was already won while they were in prayer. You don't win the battle on the battlefield. You do it in prayer. You do it in his presence. Some of you are trying to fight in a battlefield. You have no strategy. You have no plan. You have no system of victory. So he said, don't be afraid. First thing, don't even be afraid. When the prophet, God told the prophet to get out of the brook of Kirith, go because I have ordained a woman, a widow woman, to feed you. He says, give me some water. He said, no, that's too easy. Go make me some bread. And then he told her, lose the fear. Because fear is devilish. Fear opens up the gate of hell to attack you. It releases spirits from the pit of hell to torment you. Fear can be devastating. And so the prophet told her, lose the fear. Get out of that fear. Because fear ain't going to help you right now. Fear is not going to help you. Lose that fear. And as she lost that fear, she went ahead and listened to what the prophet said. And miracles started opening up. Today I say to you, lose the fear. I say to thee, lose the fear. And watch miracles open up for you, you'll see some of the greatest miracles in your experience. And so the word of the Lord came back and gave them a strategy. He said, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. You just go position yourself in the battlefield and stand still. That's all you got to do. So what am I saying? Therefore, seek the Lord in prayer and find out what he wants you to do to deal with your situation. Sometimes we become more defensive when we should be more offensive. We become more reactive instead of proactive. And when you become reactive, you allow the enemy to locate you, because now he can spot you. So you are to stand in the Lord under the shadow of the Almighty. So you pray in his name, because in your strength you will lose, you'll be defeated. You have no strength in yourself. So you pray in his name, in the name of Jesus, and you stand in the Lord so that you may see his salvation. So seek the Lord in prayer and find out what he wants you to do to deal with every situation that you may encounter. Now, weapon number eight, fasting. Fasting, fasting, fasting. Fasting is is another important spiritual warfare weapon, because Jesus told the disciples when they had been unable to cast out a deaf and dumb spirit from a boy that this type cannot come out what except through prayer and fasting, according to St. Mark chapter 9, verses 28 through 29. So therefore, understand that there are some types of spiritual battles that cannot be won unless you combine your prayers with fasting. That's why when this whole series is finished on prayer, I would run and get it. You have no idea of what God is speaking to me, because I've been in prayer. So this is coming by revelation. All of this stuff, you want to get it. You'll be an awesome and a mighty spiritual warrior. Therefore, when fighting big spiritual battles, prayer and fast is key. Prayer and fasting. Because some battles require more than just prayer. King Jehoshaphat also, now listen to what he did. King Jehoshaphat also combined his prayers with fasting, because he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah when they were attacked by multiple armies. Read 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Read the whole book. But he lets us know in the 20th chapter, verses 1 to 3, that they went into prayer, and everybody from the oldest to the youngest, ain't no babies going to be feeding off of mama right now. Ain't nobody eating a day yet. We're going to fast. We have a major situation we got to deal with. And we need to hear what thus saith the Lord. The people fasted and prayed, and God came through for them and helped them win their battle. So what am I saying? Combine your prayers with fasting, especially when fighting big spiritual battles. Weapon number 9, praising God. Now, praise is another important a spiritual warfare weapon, because many people in the Bible praise their way to victory. King Jehoshaphat employed the weapons of praise when he was attacked by armies from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. He appointed the people who would sing, come on now, who would sing to the Lord and praise the beauty of holiness. This choir went out to the battlefield before the army, singing, praising the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. When they began to sing and praise, God set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and they were defeated. God used the enemy of Israel to kill the enemy of their enemy of their enemy. They were killing themselves because praise confused them. I don't care what you're going through. You get into worship and praise. You start praising God. Enemy will think you've lost your mind. They're supposed to be defeated. I thought I just took everything from them and they're praising him. Something is strange. I don't understand this here. So spiritual warfare sessions, singing praises to God. You want to place the choir in front of the army. Hey, higher than I said. You want to put the choir in front of any battle. Hey, I cannot see. So he appointed the people to who would sing to the Lord and praise the beauty of holiness, praise the Lord for his mercy and do so. When they began to sing, God set ambushes against the people of Ammon, and they were defeated. The people of Ammon and Moab attacked those from Mount Seir, and when they had destroyed them, they destroyed each other, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. Oh, glory to God. Therefore, regardless of the number of enemy armies who have attacked you, always begin your Christian spiritual warfare sessions by singing praises to God. Paul and Silas also prayed and praised God when they found themselves in a tough situation. They had been falsely accused of troubling the city and teaching unlawful customs. They were then humiliated by having their clothes torn off in public. They were also beaten with rods and finally thrown into inner prison and their feet fastened into socks, according to Acts 16. Yeah, but at midnight, come on now, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and praising God. In verse 25 of Acts 16, God heard their prayers and praises. God caused a great earthquake that the foundations of that prison shook, the doors opened, their chains were loosened, and they were set free. What am I saying? Pray and praise God, even when it seems like the enemy has won because you have been publicly humiliated or unjustly punished or illegally sanctioned. Continual praying and praising him because he can deal with the foundation or the root cause of your problem and reopen the doors of opportunity that have been slammed shut in your face. Oh, work of me, saints. God can also loosen the chains that are holding you down regardless of whether they are chains of drug addiction or chains of human oppression and set you free miraculously. Oh, thank you. Weapon number 10, that's the key if you haven't done it tonight. This one here is the doozy. This one here makes the enemy think that you have lost your mind. I know y'all on the line. I'm waiting for the rest of you to move in faith. Everybody on tonight should be getting something in the ground. Let's go to weapon number 10, giving God an offering. The Bible teaches us that giving a God an offering is a potent spiritual warfare weapon. David sowed seeds to stop the plague on his people. There's something about the seed that demoralizes and stops attacks. Because you should be beholding in the natural, but you are releasing. That's going to do spiritual work for you and stop a cycle of deceit. We learned this from Gideon when the Israelites were severely oppressed by the Midianites that were come together with the Amalekites and people from the east and encamped against them. They were destroyed. They would destroy the produce of the earth and leave neither substance nor sheep nor ox nor donkeys for the Israelites in Judges chapter 6. The Israelites were therefore impoverished as they cried out to God. He responded by sending an angel to Gideon. He listened to the message, and God offered a sacrifice. Come on now. And he listened to the message, and God offered a sacrifice of a young goat and unleavened bread made from ephah of flour, according to Judges 6 and 19. This was literally a big sacrifice because an ephah of flour is around 40 pounds, which is 20 kilograms. It was also a big sacrifice figuratively, because it was hard for the Israelites to get a goat and 40 pounds of flour because of the Midianite oppression they were living under. But one night, after giving his sacrificial offering, God prompted Gideon to go to the Midianite camp with his servant, Korah, according to Judges 7, 19 through 14. On arrival, they heard a man telling his companion that he had dreamt that a loaf of bread had tumbled into the Midianite camp and struck a tent so that it fell, overturned, and collapsed. His companion interpreted his dream by saying, "This is the sword of Gideon." Oh, hallelujah. "This is the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, because God has delivered Midian into his hand." When the time of the fight for their freedom came, Gideon gave each man, come on now, he gave each man in his army a trumpet and a pitcher with a torch inside of it. He then commanded them to say, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon," according to Judges 7, chapter 7, verse 18. When they got to the Midianite camp, when Gideon's army arrived, they followed his instructions and blew their trumpets and broke their pitchers and shouted, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Upon hearing the trumpet, the Lord set every man's sword in the Midianite camp against his companion, and the Midianite army fled. So therefore, before you set out to fight your spiritual battles, give God a sacrificial offering. And when you get, come on now, when you get to your battlefield, speak scriptures, because the sword of the Lord is the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Give God an offering. Give God an offering. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, no, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. That's this teaching here. We're going to be continuing because we ain't done yet. I ain't done yet. Now, listen, there are a total. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. There are a total, I believe, as God gave it to me. There is a total of, I believe, 10 points. 10 points that I want to share with you in regards to strategies and prayer warfare. Now, this is principle number one. But out of that came forth 10 weapons. And our first principle was put on the armor God provides. Oh, Holy Ghost, I love you. Now, on Tuesday, maybe earlier, we'll see how the Lord leads. I'm going to talk about how to accept and adopt the warrior spirit. There are 9 more steps that I must give you so that you can learn strategies in prayer warfare. I want to equip you. I want to thank all of you tonight for being a part of this teaching. I pray that it has blessed you. There is so much more that I must tell you. I want to thank you for staying up. God's going to reward you for your faithfulness and your commitment, because you stood the course.